whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
One tonight, a little different time slot for me. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, checking in. KM to 1 a.m., 8:30 to 1 a.m. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk sports. What I mean by I don't know how I'm going to do this, if you are familiar with me, if you know anything about me, I only watch sports. I don't watch Netflix. I don't go to the movies. I couldn't tell you the last time I sat in a movie theater. I think the last movie I saw in the movie theater was Deadpool, the first one. I just watch live sports. Like, so much so, my wife gets super annoyed about it. And I'm super annoyed about it because right now on my MacBook, I've got Devils, Rangers, live from the Garden. And on the TV in here at WFAN, I have Notre Dame, Penn State, the college football playoff, live from Miami Gardens, and Hard Rock. The Orange Bowl. I have like sports ADHD right now. I cannot focus right now. I have to do a show, and I think we just got to start with baseball, right? We got to just start with baseball, and then by the time we get to 11, 12, 1, like, it'll turn into a football Friday. We'll start talking about wild card weekend, and before we get to that, we'll talk about, you know, Black Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, people still being fired. If you love sports like me, you might be also watching and listening, but I think we start with the baseball only because if you're listening right now, maybe you're a Rutgers fan, Rutgers basketball fading a little bit in conference play, but like if you're listening right now, I assume you're not locked in on the hockey game. I assume you're not locked in on this football game, so I'll throw some baseball topics out there to start. We'll get that out of the way. We'll take your calls and go through the night, but excuse me if I shout, if I point and yell and make any type of sounds during this game, both games, this football game and this hockey game. I'll give you the update if you're driving and you're on your way home. These are great games right now. The Devils are up 2-1 on the Rangers. Woo! Woo! I mean, the Rangers, the first period, Adam Fox gets the scoring started for them. I think it was a power play goal. I was driving in, and, you know, they go into the second period up 1-0. The Devils had a goal wiped off the board in the first period. I think Luke Hughes got that goal taken back. But, man, the second period is like the Devils woke up. And, of course, who else? Jack Hughes, bang, ties the game 1-1. And then Jesper Bratt just followed up minutes ago with the second goal for the Devils to make it 2-1. You expect the Devils to get a win here. The, you know, Rangers fans were just booing the Rangers. They had a 2-on-1 opportunity to score. I think Trocheck missed. They're, you know, about to fade. And we will keep eyes on that game. And then in the college football playoff, man, there's been turnovers. There have been penalties. It has been a little bit of a rock fight early. It is 3-0 Penn State. Penn State got two huge breaks. Riley Leonard, trying to make a play, made a huge mistake, throwing the ball over the middle. It was picked off by Penn State in the first quarter. Penn State puts a drive together with Drew Aller and Tyler Warren, and they're about to go in and score, and Notre Dame picks the ball off, but that gets waved off from a holding penalty, and Penn State gets the ball back. They look like they're about to score. Wide open receiver drops the ball at the 1-yard line. They end up settling for a field goal. It's 3-0 early in the second quarter. Penn State over Notre Dame. Okay, that's the game updates. Let me focus in on the baseball topics. 888-808-1019. We're wide open for calls. I don't have one call on here, so maybe that first call will be you. If you're a Mets fan or a Yankees fan, we'll do both. I saw a report today from Andy Martino that Luis Arraez, whose name has been in every Yankees fan's mouth this last week, that he's not going to sign with either New York team, that the Yankees are out on him. They checked in on him in November, but they're out. But now the Mets are slightly more open to adding him. I just think this is all fodder. I think this is all chatter. I think this is lukewarm stove talk right now. But I did start thinking about it, and I did start thinking about the Mets. Like, if the Mets are interested in adding this guy, well, he wouldn't play second base, right? I mean, you have multiple guys that can play second base. Obviously, Jeff McNeil, maybe Luis Angel Acuna. If you're going to try and go with OMG the Remix Part 2, bringing back Jose Iglesias late, I don't think they would be looking to put him at second base. They might be looking to put him at first base where he's played, and that's a position where it's a little safer because he doesn't have to be as athletic. He doesn't have to move as much. This is a guy that hits 330. This is a guy that had a down year last year but could easily bounce back. I hear so much slander on the guy. I'm like, you guys are nuts. There are not that many players in baseball that can hit as consistently as this guy. He would help the Mets or the Yankees, but with my Mets thought, I'm just like, man, as days go on, I think it's more and more unlikely that Pete Alonso comes back. Unless Pete Alonso absolutely swallows his pride, doesn't have any animosity, isn't pissed off at all. And it's just, it's tough, man, because I feel like the vibes are already down. I feel like for Pete, this is his big payday. He's been waiting for this opportunity to cash out. You're hearing things about the Cecil Fielder deal. He's not going to get that deal. You're hearing things about him not wanting anything less than a six-year deal, which I understand, right? He's looking for the security. He's looking to not have to worry about this for pretty much the rest of his career. And if he won't budge off that six-year mark, I don't think the Mets are going to budge either. They don't have to. Now, obviously, they signed Juan Soto to almost an $800 million deal, and everybody talks about Juan Soto going to get the most money, and people talk about him going to the highest bidder. Well, I don't know who the highest bidder is going to be for Pete Alonso. There might not be one higher than the Mets. And even if there is one a little bit higher, slightly higher, it's not going to be a better situation. 888-808-1019. But do I expect Pete Alonso, who's got to have a lot of pride? Do you remember the guy talking about, I'm an all-star this year, when really we knew he was only an all-star this year because of the home run derby and Major League Baseball trying to sell that, and he had a terrible showing. But, you know, they're trying to get Pete Alonso, who's one of the faces of the home run derby, to come back and compete in it because less and less guys want to compete in it. And so he ends up getting the nod over Lindor, over Nimmo, being the sole Met. 888-808-1019. Pete has a lot of pride. He said he was on pace to hitting 40 home runs this year. He did not. What I'm saying is he's got to feel some type of way. After hearing all this Juan Soto talk and seeing what Juan Soto got, who hasn't had one AB for the Mets yet, Pete Alonso has to feel slighted in some kind of way, and he's with Scott Boras for a reason. He hired Scott Boras to get him the most money, and Scott Boras, he's no stranger to making his players wait. What happened to the Boras Five last year? Yes, some of them blamed him. Some of them were mad at him. Some of them were hurt. Had shaky starts from J.D. Martinez, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman, and Cody Bellinger. But you know what? Boras has a formula here. And maybe Pete has to take a short-term deal. And again, I just don't think a short-term deal with an opt-out of 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, short-term deal with an opt-out. Like, where's a better situation? The Angels? The Giants? I read somewhere that the Giants aren't going to pay him. I don't know where, you know, the mystery team is going to come from. I think it's not a staring contest anymore between the Mets and Pete. The Mets offered him a lot more money a year ago, 2 years ago. It's 2025. And he turned it down, looking to seek out Scott Boras and hit free agency, thinking he was going to have a prove-it year and hit big. He bet on himself, and he played himself. And it's okay, but at the same time, man, I don't know here. Like, the Mets don't have to bid against themselves. The Mets don't have to. Like, David Stearns is there now. And as much money as Steve Cohen put out for Juan Soto, David Stearns is there to make everything else work. The math isn't mathing to give Pete Alonso a 6-year deal. The math isn't mathing to give Pete Alonso $200 million. And I think Pete wants to be in New York. He wants to be a Met. He wants to be a lifetime Met and win with this team. And this team has a good chance of winning once you add a Juan Soto to it. But what's going to do it? I don't know. I think it's a ticking time bomb. And here we are as days go by. In about a month, pitchers and catchers start to report. Decisions got to be made. And Pete Alonso's getting up there in age. If he's got to move, like, he's got to make a decision. If he's not going to be reporting to camp down there in Florida with the Mets, he's got to know where he's going to go. 888-808-1019. So we'll start there with, you know, Luis Arraez. If they're even checking on Luis Arraez and thinking about adding another bat, even the conversation that we heard about Alex Verdugo and them checking on him, where I'm just like, why wouldn't you just go bring back Jesse Winker, let him pick up where he left off? I don't know. There's a lot of chatter and rumblings around the Mets adding another bat, which would lead you to believe, whether it's true or not, they're floating that out there for Boris and Pete to feel like they have to, you know, cave and sign. Or there's truth to it where there's a contingency plan for moving on without Pete. Let's go to Zach out in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Zach, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you?
Good. How are you? Just trying to keep eyes on two games and my notes. Talking about Pete Alonso and hosting the show. The Rangers have tied it up 2-2 now. Still 3-0 Penn State over Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, compared to that, I mean, I'm just going for a nice drive home from work. So compared to that, yeah, I'm just chilling. But yeah, I mean, I'm totally for bringing Jesse Winker back. I love the lore with you know him being the heel when he would come when he was on the Reds, and now that he's on the Mets, we love him so much when I was at the game when he hit that bomb in the NLDS against the Phillies. I'm fully in support of that. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like they have so many options in terms of bats between Ronnie Mauricio, Acuna. I don't think bringing back McNeil, I don't know, it didn't seem like his bat has any life left in it. I don't know, maybe I'm just being harsh on him after one season, but I'm a big fan of Arraez. I would love that. That would be fantastic. But I feel like the focus, honestly, in my eyes, isn't necessarily on Alonso at this point. It's more on the pitching. But I guess I'm not David Stearns, and I don't quite understand how his mind works in terms of developing a bullpen and a starting rotation.
Yeah, but we did hear that they met with Tanner Scott this week, so he's obviously still trying to spend on the bullpen, which is interesting. But also, you know, you mentioned Ronnie Mauricio, who was hurt last year, and it immediately made me think about David Stearns coming in last year talking about evaluating talent, specifically their young talent. With a 15-year Juan Soto contract, they probably want to get younger and more cost-effective. Pete Alonso doesn't check off either one of those boxes.
Exactly. And I mean, in terms of the short showings from both of them, Ronnie and Acuna, they were both incredible. The sound off the bat for both of them is next level. And obviously, you know, now that we got players like Ellie De La Cruz in the league, Ronnie Mauricio seems right up that alley.
Yeah.
And I just don't see how putting 6 years into Alonso makes any sense, especially if, you know, maybe Vlad Guerrero Jr. becomes an option for the Mets in the next year or two.
Bingo. There you go.
And this is all unfortunate because I love Alonso. I love him. This has been the most exciting time as a Mets fan for me, honestly, in my whole life. Obviously, 06 was great. 15 was great. But last season was absolutely magical. And, you know, I hate to see Pete go, but I'm not.
You're trying to win, and you're trying to win a certain way. Thanks for the call. Drive safe, Zach. You're trying to win, and you're trying to win a certain way. And I hate to knock Pete because he is an all-time great Met. But, I mean, he had his moments last year. Like, if you listen to the Fan, there were people talking about dropping him in the lineup in the wild card round. I remember hearing a call. Someone's like, drop him in the lineup. I'll drop him off at the airport. I'm like, damn, that's your man. That's your guy, the polar bear. He was Mr. Met for how many years? Like, there's a fraction of Mets fans that have kind of soured on Pete. And there's another fraction of Mets fans that are like, in Stearns we trust, in Cohen we trust. What they see fit is what is going to get us there. Look at the year that Stearns had in year one. 888-808-1019. 101.9. Patrick is in Queens on the Fan next. Pat, you're live.
Oh, my bad. So with the Pete Alonso contract, and I think the last time the Mets offered him something, what was it, it was 3 years at 90 with the opt-out after two?
The last rumor was, yeah, a three-year contract for $90 million.
If that's indeed true, what I don't understand is, now he wants stability. He's looking for 6 years at 150-something million or 160-something million. Take the three-year contract, prove it for the next 2 years, opt out, extend your contract. You're going to get at least 50. So why not do that?
He might have to. And I don't know if Scott Boras is a money man. I don't know what type of information Scott is feeding him, but I feel like Scott is telling him
he could end up making more money than what he was originally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know it. And I mean, even that AAV is solid for Pete right now. He's a player that, like, all they talk about is he's going to decline his body type, his bat speed, what he's going to be in the next few years over the age of 30. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I just don't think anyone else in Major League Baseball is coming in to pay more money than the Mets. The Mets have all the money in the world. I think that they have all the leverage. And if Pete wants to be a part of this rebrand that the Mets have gone through with Stearns and Cohen and getting to the NLCS and looking to get back next year, maybe even further to the World Series, like, I think he's going to cave.
I kind of feel that having Soto on the team, and especially hitting in front of him, is only going to help his OPS grow.
Right. Like, don't you want to play with Juan Soto? Don't you want to play on the Mets that has Lindor and Juan Soto? Like, that's got to be a part of it, too. Winning and, like, having a bounce-back year. And something else I said, thanks for the call, Patrick. I said this during the season, and you've probably heard me say this 10 different times. I always felt like this was going to be a win for the Mets because Pete was having a down year, and I'm like, oh, the price isn't going up. The price is going down. And then when he turned it on in the postseason, that only benefits the Mets, and that is only shiny for the Mets. Other teams aren't looking at Pete Alonso's postseason performance saying, yeah, he's going to do that for us out in Anaheim. He's going to do that for us out in San Francisco. That's a Mets fan thing, right? He's dear to your heart for a homer that he hit in the wild card round to you know, keep you alive. And then in the next round against the Phillies, the same thing. Like, that has more value to the Mets and the Mets fans. It doesn't have value on the open market. So, I don't know. Pete's going to be in a corner here. I don't know his personality so much. I remember 2 seasons ago, they tried to say he was a cancer in the clubhouse. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. But he does seem like a competitive guy. He does seem like he's got a chip on his shoulder. He probably feels a little disrespected, especially with all the Juan Soto hype. Now, everybody's got a 22 jersey, not a 20 jersey. Everybody's talking Juan Soto, Juan Soto, Juan Soto. He's got a contract that Pete Alonso will never sniff. Maybe he doesn't want to play with Juan Soto. I don't know. These are alphas. These are professional athletes. These are guys that, like, those type of things matter. Let's go to Massapequa Park. John, you're next up.
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
Good.
All righty. So we're talking Juan Soto. I think he's going to be the best buy we ever had. And because we took him from the Yankees, it's going to cause the Soto curse. We had the great Bambino. We
Soto
had the
curse?
Billy Goat. Yep, we had the curse of the Billy Goat, the curse of the great Bambino. Now it's Yankees' turn.
They got Joe curse. Yeah.
10 years, calling it.
Ten years, what? Tell us more. The Yankees won't win a World Series for 10 years? That's what you're saying?
Playoffs.
Won't go to the playoffs for 10 years?
That's my prediction.
Good night. What are you talking about, John? John hit the CBD pen. He hit the Eddies. John, I hope you're not driving. The Yankees won't go to the postseason for 10 years because they lost Juan Soto. Oh, all right, I guess I got to remind you guys. Juan Soto played 1 year for the New York Yankees. Helped them go to the World Series, yes. Didn't help them win it. But before Juan Soto, the Yankees were going to plenty ALCSs with guys that are still on this team. Postseason appearances are a regular occurrence for the Yankees. So much so, like, we don't even care as Yankee fans. It's World Series, right? ALCS, losing to the Astros in the ALCS, might as well lose in the wild card to the Red Sox. Might as well lose in the DS to the Rays. Like, the Yankees are going to go to plenty more postseasons and probably a couple, maybe 3 more World Series in the next 10 years, John. Will the Mets get to one World Series with Juan Soto in the next 10 years? That's what we got to actually talk about, because the National League is stacked. And you know that. You know that. So there is no curse of Juan Soto. Juan Soto came in. He strutted around in right field, tipped his cap, turned around, waved to the fans every day, bowed, did his little X when he got the roll call, made all the fans think that he wanted to be a Yankee. That was all for show. That was an act. He was always going to get the top dollar. There's no curse in that transaction. I thought you were going to say it was going to cause, you know, this like heated rivalry, more of a back and forth. Because, I mean, it's been weeks now since the decision was made. And if you listen to WFAN every day, it's back and forth. If you read anything on Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, Instagram, it's just back and forth, back and forth. I can't wait till the games actually start. Woo-hoo-hoo! I can't wait till we actually can watch what the Mets and the Yankees are. The Yankees without Juan Soto, the Mets with Juan Soto. But I guarantee you, I'll put everything on it, there will be no curse of Juan Soto with the Yankees missing the postseason for 10 years. 888-808-1019. Ray is in Queens on the Fan next. Ray?
Yes, this is Ray. The Mets should go all in. I mean, after signing Soto, I don't understand why they're not looking at Anthony Santander as a switch hitting, DH.
I think they
put him in the DH spot, and then see if they can pick up Pete eventually. But I mean, they need more than just one big bat in this lineup.
Thanks for the call, Ray. I think they might, right? Like, if they don't sign Pete Alonso, and that's the funny thing too. They could not, and that's why I think Pete's going to wait this out. But I also think the Mets are going to wait it out. Sorry. What is this? I'm sorry. I'm in here trying to watch the Devils game. I'm in here trying to watch the football game. And I just, the commercial was playing, and I can't have that over the radio. Sports head. But yeah. What I'm saying with the Mets is all of this stuff, there's an order of operations, there's a timeline here. The Mets could go get Anthony Santander. He's still floating out there. He's still waiting. I mean, there were Yankee fans that wanted him. I entertained the idea because I'm like, okay, this guy could play first. He could play right. Can he play? He hit 40 bombs last year. Juan Soto hit 40 bombs last year. He's a switch hitter. The Mets could entertain him, but wouldn't it be something if Pete signs somewhere else where they offer him 5 years, 6 years, and then the Mets say, oh, okay, Pete, and then give somebody more than $90 million. That would be crazy. Brian is in Kenilon, New Jersey. Brian, you're live.
Hey, Keith, how are you doing? Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Hey,
thanks,
Keith, I couldn't agree. No problem. Hey, Keith, I couldn't agree with you more about Alonso, and I just feel like because of the market for him right now, I just think it's inevitable that he does come back to the Mets. And if the Mets would go, let's say, up to 4 years for 120, just add another year on, maybe Pete Alonso sees that as a victory for him, and that kind of strokes his ego to some extent, and then he comes back. To have him come back for 3 for $90, which was the offer, maybe the Mets need to do a little bit more. So I'm thinking it's inevitable. I think the Mets have to maybe extend him one more year. And for the Mets in their lineup, I know one of your previous callers had said, you know, imagine what he can do hitting ahead of Soto. Do you envision that, or do you see him as being protection for Soto if he does come back? Imagine having, you know, the decision to walk Soto and then see, you know, Alonso in his 40 home runs hitting
from
behind.
Just from watching Judge all year, like in that first inning, Soto works a walk, Judge is hitting a two-run bomb. And with Pete's power, you have to have Soto in front of Pete. And there's so many opportunities for you to hit a two-run bomb like that. Like, the different look at Judge's RBI and the difference in his MVP seasons. The difference with the runs batted in was in 2022, he didn't have anybody on base in front of him. He was in a lot of solo shots. In 2024, yep, Soto was on base. So there was a lot of times they were both coming home. Yeah, you got to have Soto in front of Pete Alonso.
Yeah, and you know, Pete doesn't strike me as the kind of, again, I don't know him, obviously, just doesn't seem to be that kind of guy that would be bitter. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah. I know he has an ego. Everybody has an ego, but it just seems to me that his place is with the Mets. He's been with the Mets for years, so I just see him coming home, but I guess we'll have to just wait and see.
Thanks for the call, Brian. I don't know, Pete. You guys tell me. You Mets fans might know him more than me, his story. Like, he strikes me as a guy that wouldn't be bitter. He of course, is prideful, but I think he would look at it as a good thing that one of the best players in the game is on his team, right? I would think as a leader on the team, too, he'd want to be around to, like, welcome Juan Soto in, show him around. Hey, like, I don't know. Maybe that's what they got to do. Add a fourth year, get him over, the three digits. He's got to be a $100 million man. And then Pete, I really think once it's done, I said this, Pete, you'll see Pete return to form this year, right? He had a down year last year, but I think he'll return to form once he gets his money. And it doesn't have to be $200 million. I think $100 million would do it. Bonnie is in Pennington, New Jersey. Before we go to break, Bonnie, you got it.
Hi, Keith. How are you? Thanks for taking the call. I'm not a Mets fan. I'm a Yankee fan, diehard okay. Yankee fan. Okay. I don't think Alonso, the longer it goes, I don't think he's going to end up at the Mets. I'm not so sure. I mean, you talk about him, you know, with Juan Soto. Juan Soto's a generational player. He's Pete Alonso certainly is not near that. But I don't know if he wants to play second fiddle. He's not going to get much attention with Juan Soto. I mean, you see what he did at Yankee Stadium with the, you know, Bleacher Creatures. They loved him. But it's all about the money, unfortunately, for him.
Sure. Thanks for the call, Bonnie. And also, after what Lindor did last year, Lindor should have won National League MVP last year. It's Lindor's team. They need to go ahead and make him captain. They're going to retire David Wright's number. Go ahead and make Lindor captain this year. So now, Pete Alonso, you're third in rank. It's Juan Soto, the highest paid player, the generational talent. It's Francisco Lindor, the shortstop, the MVP, the captain. And then you, buddy. And you better watch out. Here comes Mark Vientos. You better watch out. Here comes Francisco Alvarez. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some other guys might be vying for, you know, that top spot with the fans. You might be fourth, fifth in line as far as a fan favorite. 888-808-1019. We'll keep it here with Pete Alonso conversation around Juan Soto, around Pete's contract, the future, where he's going to be, what this Mets lineup looks like, if they're going to add a Luis Arraez or Alex Verdugo or Jesse Winker or even a Tanner Scott. There's going to be a move coming up soon, and it may be a move that makes Pete Alonso say, I'm out. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Inside the 9 p.m. hour on the Fan in New York on January 9th. Keith McPherson in here trying to watch all the sports and talk all the sports at the same time. I can do it. I'm in here now. It's been a half hour figuring it out. Man, this Devils-Rangers game, 2-2. I'm just hoping for a heartbreak for the Rangers. I'm hoping that this goes to overtime and the Rangers lose, or maybe the Devils get them with like 2 minutes left in the third period here. There's 16 minutes left in the third period here. Watching this Orange Bowl, big sack and a fumble as I look back up to that screen. The pride of Bergen Catholic High School, Steve Angeli, is in the game. He just gets hit hard and coughs the ball up. Now, Riley Leonard got knocked out of the game for a little bit, shaken up. So Angeli is in. And he's a sophomore out of Westfield, New Jersey. I just said Bergen Catholic, and that just made me think of something. We'll get to it later if you listen to my show. I'm on until 1 a.m. Bill Belichick was spotted at Bergen Catholic today. Supposedly he was also at Don Bosco Prep, big rivals in North Jersey, parochial schools. Bill Belichick is on the recruiting trail. Bill Belichick does not want to go to the NFL, or does he? The Raiders fired Tom Telesco today. And just as soon as everybody wanted to say, oh, they fired their black head coach after 1 year, they fired their white GM after 1 year. And he had a pretty decent draft. He drafted Brock Bowers. Who else did he draft? We'll get to the football. But I want to stay with this Pete Alonso conversation. I want to stay with the baseball for now because I know once this football game ends, we're going to get some football calls. People are going to want to talk about Drew Aller. People are going to want to talk about Penn State. Abdul Carter, some of these other guys that are on the field right now. Obviously, we're getting closer and closer to wild card weekend. But yeah, if you missed the first half of the show, I started with Pete Alonso. I started with rumors this week that are popping up. Like, you always got to read between the lines. Why are there rumors popping up about the Mets and Tanner Scott? Why are there rumors popping up about the Mets and Alex Verdugo? Then today, the Mets checked in on Luis Arraez. And then on the other side, you hear that Pete Alonso won't budge off of 6 years. You hear that Pete Alonso wants the Cecil Fielder deal for $214 million. It's like, okay, these two sides seem to be using the media to send messages. There's this, you know, messages. There's just a stalemate right now. But for what, you know, it's worth, I think Pete Alonso's going to lose. I think he's already lost. I think he either caves and takes the short-term lower money deal than he wanted with the Mets, or somebody does wait until February, late February. They assess their team in spring training. They need another bat, and they say, okay, we'll give him the 5 years, or, you know, we'll give him the 6 years even, whatever it is. And Pete makes a life-changing decision to leave the Mets. 888-808-1019. I'm going to take a couple calls on that, and then I'll hit you with some of the arbitration stuff as the Mets and I think six of their players came to arbitration agreements or avoid arbitration, and then the Yankees as well. Some names that you'll be interested to hear about what they're actually going to make. Let's go to Phil in Yonkers on the Fan. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Keith. How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. First time, long time. I'm a diehard Mets fan. I think we got a lot of young guys in the system right now. I don't see how it's possible that we can even come close to giving Alonso a 4 or 5 year deal. Never mind a 6 year deal.
Yeah, they don't want to because it's going to stop somebody from getting an opportunity to play and be evaluated.
Right, exactly. But the point is that we're talking $90 million. Okay, these guys are great players. You know, that money is warranted for them, okay? But in the real world, $90 million, Keith, you can't take $90 million for 3 years?
$30 million a year.
Yeah, do your thing for the first year. Get an opt-out, do something, and prove yourself again. It's not like he's 36 or 37, man.
And like, being in New York, he's already in, like, a city commercial. There's more opportunities with advertising,
exactly.
Branding, and being on this Mets team that has Juan Soto, they're just going to attract so much more business and eyes and ears and attention.
Absolutely. And the point that you made before was a great point. Whatever he does in New York is going to be magnified. Home runs, whatever. Whatever he does in other cities, it's not going to be as big.
Yeah, especially if he goes out west. If he goes and plays for the Angels or the Giants, people are asleep. People wake up and they might catch some of those highlights on MLB or MLB Network, but not even SportsCenter showing it.
Absolutely. And the point is, I mean, he basically pulled a Conforto this year, okay? If it wasn't for that home run in Milwaukee, forget it. I mean, prior to that, he fell.
Mm-hmm.
When he was on the first base.
Oh, man, yeah.
You know how many people were probably laughing at him, man?
I forgot about that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, he was going out sad when he fell. Remember, he didn't make the play on the foul net with the Milwaukee fans? He should have made that catch.
And then he falls over the bat. I'm like, oh, man, this dude is going out crazy. This is insane, bro. And then finally he hits the bomb.
Yeah, saving grace.
If it wasn't for that, that's a Conforto season, man. I mean, come on. Am I right or wrong?
In a way. I mean, Conforto now is with the Dodgers. I think he signed for $17 million.
Everybody's with the Dodgers.
Yeah, the deferred money, the deferred Dodgers.
Everybody, let me ask you a question, okay? I know you're a diehard Yankee fan, but let me ask you an honest question. Because I have a lot of Yankee friends, and they don't like Aaron Boone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let me get your take on this. 2017, Joe Girardi is the manager, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. He takes them where?
Game 7 of the ALCS.
Thank you. What happens the next year? Is he the manager?
No, they kick him to the curb because he was too hard on Gary Sanchez. They didn't like some of the things he said and did in the media.
Okay. Okay. So now, hear me out. Is this now the curse of Joe Girardi? But the Yankees never winning again.
No, Phil, I got to let you go. Thanks for the call, Phil. No. We're not about to do that. Joe Girardi's calling games. He works for Yes. I was just with Joe in spring training. Joe is around. Like, let bygones be bygones. We're all good, baby. We made it back to the World Series. That narrative was erased. Oh, Aaron Boone never took the Yankees further than Joe Girardi he did last year. I don't hate Boone. I don't necessarily love Boone. I'm kind of down the middle. I think he's a good guy. I think he deserves more respect than he gets. I think when it's all said and done and you look at his like life and times and career and who he is in baseball and just like American sports, his family, like he's an all-time great. I need to see him win a World Series with the Yankees. And I just know why he's here. He never managed anywhere else. He was doing baseball tonight for ESPN. And he was handpicked by Brian Cashman because he knew that the media training, the media experience, on top of being a baseball lifer coming from the Boone family, like this is a guy that we can bring in here that's going to be an extension of us, that's going to say the right things, is going to protect our players. It's not going to give bad quotes in the media, as I was just talking about with Joe Girardi. It's not what you want. And then also, man, Boone's got a lot of youth in him. Like, he'll step in the batter's box. He'll do a Masahiro Tanaka pitching impression. Aaron Judge loves him. And I think at times that can be good and bad. I've talked about Boone being cool dad. You know, you got to be an authority figure. But sometimes when you're a player's manager or a player's coach, you can be so friendly with the players that the fans don't see you ever disciplining them or, you know, like Gleyber Torres, right? We saw him bench Gleyber Torres. We saw him, you know, sit Gleyber Torres or whatever. But a lot of people wondered, man, like, okay, what kind of conversations are you having with Gleyber? Because he keeps doing this over and over and over again. So clearly he's not getting the message. Maybe he doesn't take you seriously. I don't think that's the case, but that's what people are led to believe. I'll say this about Aaron Boone. There were some decisions and some things in the World Series that are permanent. For the life of me, I wish he could have somehow stopped the bleeding in the fifth inning. I wish there was something he could have said, clapped his hand, something. Hey, fellas, lock in. I've said they need a code word for, you know, after an error, after a mistake, after, you know, something goes awry, after Judge drops the pop-up, after Volpe spikes the ball, after Rizzo doesn't cover first and neither does Cole. Like, there needs to be a code word. Like, hey, dial in, lock in, focus up. Come on. We're facing elimination. I wish Boone was able to affect the game more as the manager in that moment, but it is what it is. 888-808-1019, even game one, as I'm in the middle of the crowd and Billy's staring up at that big-ass screen, and I think they take Cole out after like 88 pitches. I'm like, what in the hell? Garrett Cole has only pitched half a season. This is our $36 million a year ace. There ain't no more season after this. He might not get the ball again. This is it. Empty the tank. Why are we taking him out? For who? Nestor Cortez doesn't pitch for a month, and they get cute there, and you guys know what happened. 888-808-1019. I don't know. Aaron Boone is the manager of this team. I expect him to be the manager of this team for as long as Judge is the captain and Garrett Cole is here, this era of the Yankees, and he got to a World Series. He's got to win one next, and I do believe that he can. Jeff is in Paterson, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Jeff?
Yo, Keith, what up?
What
did we just learn from these New York, in terms of Alonzo, we just learned from these New York football teams, what's the answer? The answer is to always move on. Move on from Rodgers, move on from Shane and Dable. Alonzo thinks he's a franchise player.
I hate to laugh and stop you, Jeff. They did move on from Shane and Dable, and the Jets may not move on from Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, they got rid of them?
No, that's what I'm saying. You're saying to move on from Pete, right? The Giants did not move on from their GM and head coach after a miserable year, an all-time bad year. The Jets?
Yeah, the answer is move on.
There are a lot of people in the camp of keeping Aaron Rodgers. The Jets haven't moved on from Aaron Rodgers yet.
evolve or die. They have to. Just like the Yankees, they moved on from Gleyber Torres, and now what do the Yankees need? A leadoff hitter and a second baseman, and they had that, but he doesn't fit the mold. The Yankees are going to evolve, you know?
Yeah.
And I still kind of question that move, Keith. I know where you stand on that, but now the Yankees need a leadoff hitter and a second baseman. He raked in the postseason, and now look where they're at.
The base well, running, the errors, the guy had 18 errors, 15 errors the year before. He led the league in errors at the position. The not hustling, the running into outs. I think, you know, Brian Cashman couldn't stand to look at him anymore, and they figure that they could figure out the leadoff spot, and Jazz Chisholm has played 150 games at second base. They're going to move him there and try and find somebody to play third base. And internally, they feel like they have three guys that could do it, at least for the first half of the year till we get to the trade deadline.
Yeah, I understand. But the Jets are interviewing all types of people for GM. They're evolving. They're going outside the box. I don't believe they're going to get away from Rodgers. He ain't coming back next year. And, you know, it'll be the LOL Giants again next year. So thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. The LOL Mets, the LOL Giants. Will it be the LOL Jets? I don't know, man. As we're looking at Drew Aller, and, man, the internet is the dumbest place. It is full of dense idiots. And I'm harsh like that because, like, people believe anything they see online now. There is no thinking. There is no critical thinking. People cannot read some text, look at an image, look at it. Like, you can literally put screenshots of a random conversation between people we don't know and a picture that's not even the person and say, Drew Aller is on a boat in Miami hours before playing in the Fiesta Bowl. The fact that this is something that went viral today on X, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, people are doing pieces on it. This guy, this one, this one. I'm like, yo, what? Ask anyone that's ever played. You don't even have to. They were asking Tiki, right? Because I think Morash brought it up on the show today. And they're like, Tiki, you played college football. These guys are on a schedule from the second that they wake up and check in at breakfast. And your ass better be checked in at breakfast. If it's at 8 o'clock, you better be there. Attendance better be taken, and you better be seated. Are you kidding me? These guys are NIL kids. They're getting paid millions of dollars. You think that the Penn State football team would let their quarterback go out on a boat today? One, that's dangerous. Two, that's preposterous. I don't know how people could even believe that stuff. 888-808-1019, as it is now halftime. Down there in Miami. And, I mean, Penn State is doing it, man. I'm glad I didn't bet this game. I'm doing everything in my power to not bet until the weekend because I know I'm going to lose $500 betting on a wild card round. But Penn State is up 10-3 over Notre Dame with Riley Leonard exiting the game. They just got one more half of football. And James Franklin and the Nittany Lions are back in the national championship. 888-808-1019. We're still talking Pete Alonso. We're still talking Yankees. When I come back, I'll hit you with some names and numbers for players that avoided arbitration between the Mets and Yankees. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back. Oh, yeah. You know, KM to 1 a.m. Maybe you don't know. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Talking sports. Watching sports. It's 10-3 Penn State over Notre Dame down in Miami. And the Hudson River rivalry, your New Jersey Devils versus your New York Rangers, is knotted up at 2-2 with about 5.5 minutes left in the third period. So instead of talking puck, instead of talking football, I started talking baseball. Led with Pete Alonso and the conversation around him. I just think as the days go on, it's less likely that the Mets budge and Pete will have to fold, swallow his pride, and take what they give him. Sucks, but, you know, there could be a nice ending to it, right? Come play with the Mets, and the Mets are competitive this year right out of the gate. Who knows? Or he goes somewhere else and returns to form and has a banner year and doesn't have to worry about money for years. What else do we talk about? Yeah, the fact that the Mets have articles and, you know, reporters talking about Luis Arraez and Alex Verdugo and Tanner Scott. It's no coincidence that other moves are being talked about and not Pete Alonso. While Pete Alonso rumors are about him wanting the Cecil Fielder contract, or Scott Boras wanting the Cecil Fielder contract and him looking for 6 years and not being willing to budge off of that. Well, in other news, the Mets agreed to terms with six players today and avoid arbitration. Left-handed pitcher David Peterson, right-handed pitcher Tyler McGill, right-handed pitcher Paul Blackburn, outfielder Jose Siri, outfielder Tyrone Tracy, and catcher Luis Torrens. On the Yankees side, you'll want to know that newcomer Devin Williams, who was just actually voted as the number one reliever in baseball by MLB Network. MLB Network just ranked him as the best reliever entering the 2025 season. Yes, D-Train, a.k.a. the Airbender. The Yankees avoid arbitration with him. And I think the number, let me get the number. I think it was around $8.5 million. I've got like 100 tabs. Like if people, I gotta go live. If people could see, I have the Rangers-Devils game on my MacBook and like 20 tabs open. I have the Fiesta Bowl in front of me. I've got a full rack of calls. I have my phone over here on Twitter. I'm like, where's the Devin Williams number? I think from what I saw, yes. Yankees avoid arbitration with two-time All-Star closer Devin Williams on $8.5 million deal. Also, the numbers on Jazz. I saw Chris Kirshner put out earlier that Jazz was projected at $6.9 million and the Yankees settle at $5.8 million. Nice. I mean, Jazz better do it this year. He better have the best year of his career. I follow him online. He's working out. He's training. I think the Yankees want to move him back to second base. He's got to get a little smarter with his base running, a little better with his plate discipline. But yeah, you know, the old narrative about, you know, their second year in New York, right? Guys that are acquired either at the trade deadline or free agency. Well, now he's gone through the, you know, World Series. And proclaiming that the Yankees were going to win the World Series, and they did not, Jazz better be ready to go. And I expect that he will be. 888-808-1019. I'll get some more names and numbers for the Yankees and arbitration, but I do want to get to calls and keep the show rolling. Let's go to Chris out on Middle Island. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, first time caller. I was actually driving home, and I'm hearing all these Mets fans talking about a curse, you know, with the Yankees, how are we not going to make the playoffs the next 10 years? If anything, they got a curse. They haven't won since 86.
Mm.
And let's see how many championships they get in the next 15 years with Soto.
The curse of Doc Gooden. The curse of Mookie Wilson. What is the Mets curse called?
I have no idea, but I think it might be the Soto curse.
The next one. Thanks for the call, Chris. I mean, if they don't win one World Series in the next 15 years, the Juan Soto contract, when that happened, I'm like, I'll be teaching my son how to drive by the time Juan Soto's retiring. That's scary to think about. Like, I'm trying to teach my son how to use the potty. It's a struggle. Because he just, he's done it effectively, but like he does not want to actively do it. And it's like, he knows the word potty. He knows where it is. He's got the Elmo uses the potty book. And I know his poop schedule better than he knows. But when I start to see the look in his eye and know it, like, he just goes and lets it go in his pants. And I'm like, bro, we got to start hitting the potty. These diapers are $50 a pop. 888-808-1019. Paul is out in Yonkers. Paul, you're on the Fan.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you. So, Steve Cohen, Pete Alonso's contract is to protect his $750 million investment.
Mm.
That's what Pete's contract's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to walk fast if Pete ain't batting in front of him or in back of him. All I know is right now, the Mets have a joke of a pitching staff who these four, if you have a four-game series between the Braves, Dodgers, and Philly, not one pitcher is the favorite to win any game. You can't have it both ways.
Maybe Manaea.
750. Who's he? He's okay. You got no pitching staff. None. You invested $750 million in Soto. I'm going to watch him walk all year because now you don't want to play no more. You let all the high-end pitchers walk. Steve Cohen, I don't want to play 5 years no more. I don't want to pay a pitcher. The first 4 years, I never heard that. You got a nickel and dime general manager that's telling you that. All of a sudden, I don't want to pay a pitcher. Where did that come from?
Yeah, he was paying pitchers $40 million a year.
Who can't sign Pete Alonso 3 years for $90 million. All these Mets fans. Oh, he better sign it. Go take a walk. Pay him. Give him his years. Steve Cohen buys the end of contracts like he has nothing else to do. You give him 6 years, Pete gives you four, you buy out the last two.
Yeah. Yes.
By that time, he's having his.
Yes, you're killing it, Paul. Go on. Like, this guy's made out of money, right? We already saw him trade away contracts. I laughed about the $40 million pitchers. He traded them away and ate the money. Like, now all of a sudden, you can't do right by Pete Alonso because you have young talent coming up because David Stearns is telling you we want to evaluate our young guys. Man, give Pete his money that he's earned all these years and worry about the future in the future. It's not going to hurt your pockets at all.
The man had 40, 50, 45 homers for you. That's what he did for you. You listening to a general manager who's, he don't know how to do it. He ain't going to sign him. You got to come forward and say, okay, that's enough. Yes, what do you want? 6 years? Get close to the 157. Yes, he made a mistake. You can't make him eat it. Okay, Boris, what do you want? Here's another year. Let's go.
Great call, Paul. Thanks for that. You made me laugh. You made me think. You made some great points. And you brought some passion to the fan. 888-808-1019. You Mets fans, take a walk telling Pete that now he should settle. Wait. He had to watch everybody else hit the Mega Millions in a Mets uniform? I got to watch Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander make more money in a year than I've made? Francisco Lindor. Wait, no. The highest contract in sports history. I got to watch Juan Soto come in here and not even step foot in here. He's got a contract valued at $805 million. You mean to tell me, Pete Alonso, after all I did for you? Yeah.
Take a walk.
You're quick. Connor clipped that quickly.
Go take a walk.
Yeah, you gotta put that in the archives, man. That's a good one. Yo, Frank in Highlands, New York, you got it next. Go for it.
Yeah, Keith, thanks for taking my call. I personally think Alonso is a DH, and that we've got to get somebody else at first base. I also think that Mark Ventos could play first base, and I think that that you have to keep, you got to get somewhere and play Acuna. He's going to be a star, and he's already ready for the majors. I know he did bad in the minors. He was hurt. He was discouraged. That kid can play. And then finally, I'd like to say LeMayo at third. For the Yankees, when he's healthy and he's all healed up, I still believe that he can come close to leading the league in hitting still. I know he had a couple of bad, you know, but think about the machine that was a hitter. That's what he can still do.
Thanks for the call, Frank. I disagree completely. He's a washing machine now, and I hate it. I love LeMayu when he came here. He was the exact type of hitter the Yankees needed. I bought his player tee. I bought his jersey. I made a rap for DJ. I'm like, yeah, sign him. Because the Yankees were trying to nickel and dime him. He fell off a cliff fast. He can't lead the league in hits. The Yankees wouldn't even give him enough ABs to do that. They wouldn't start him. They know better than anybody. If we see DJ LeMahieu at all this year, it better be when somebody's resting in that infield. I can't. And I know they owe him $15 million. I can't go into this year and say, he's healthy now. Fool me, can't fool me again. All right, he had a hip, and he fouled the ball off his toe, and he had a tricep. And come on, man. Got to do better. This is a World Series team. This is a team trying to get back to the World Series. Don't tell me about his batting titles years ago. Don't tell me about him being a Gold Glove All-Star. Don't tell me about MVP votes. Just go off of what you've seen last year. Man, I saw this guy field the – I was in Yankee Stadium. We were facing the Twins. Or maybe it was the Guardians. I think we were facing the Guardians. I don't even know. I got to go back. But I remember watching him field the ball at first base and not step on the bag. Like, he froze and didn't know what to do. Like, he wanted to, like, turn a double play. And I left. I was like, all right, so I got to go. I think I was with JJ, John Jastrzemski, and Caroline and their family that night. We were sitting in like 120 somewhere. And I was like, and shout out to Vinny too. I was like, all right, y'all, I gotta go. I'm about to drive to the Fan. That was nonsense. This guy malfunctioned. And then like a couple weeks later, they shut him down and they tell us, oh, he was battling a hip injury. You mean to tell me from August and September, you forced DJ LeMahieu on us and he was hurt? Crazy. Scary, spooky, hilarious. Let's go to Oklahoma City. Lawrence, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I know I had called. I wanted to talk about the Giants, but I'm a little more inspired now.
You can. We're going to get to football Thursday into Friday, but you can always talk about the Giants. Everybody else has been doing that all day, every day.
Then maybe I can make one quick point about Pete, and then I'll bring up the Giants, if that's cool. And that's just that Pete's an all-time Met, and like those don't come around often enough for us as a fan base. And to let him be anywhere else would be an absolute crime. As a fan, that would just be unforgivable.
Yeah, they gotta give a little bit. They gotta do right by him and make sure that he doesn't go anywhere and he's happy. Now that I'm thinking about like Steve Cohen and how much money he's blown in his 4 years, like give Pete the money, man.
Yeah, Pete's worth every penny, and he's made of money. So I mean, just make it happen. It shouldn't be a big deal. And Pete deserves to play with Juan Soto. And then when it comes to the Giants, I heard this take this morning, and I thought it was interesting. The caller had said, "Hey, imagine that the Giants trade back with the Patriots their picks from 3 to 4, and they get Joe Milton, and then instead of picking 3, they pick 4, and then they sign a guy like Justin Fields." And they got Justin Fields and Joe Milton duking it out, and we still pick 4 overall.
Love the idea. But why would the Patriots trade? What are they giving up for Joe Milton?
Let's say Travis Hunter is on the board at 3.
And they really want Travis Hunter.
They're picking at 4. I think Travis Hunter is potentially got that type of draw to where that would be enticing.
Yeah, I think after what Joe Milton showed in this league, it has changed. It used to be if you have 2 quarterbacks, you don't have 1. And this league, if you don't have 2 quarterbacks, you're in trouble. You got to have a backup quarterback because they always end up playing. And they were able to get him in the 6th round, and he's cost effective. And these backups now are making more than ever. If I'm the Patriots, I keep Joe Milton right there with Drake May, and I'm not letting him go anywhere unless somebody gives me an offer I cannot refuse. Come on!
Yeah, I respect that.
Sorry, the Rangers just won in overtime. Thanks for the call. Almost dropped an F-bomb. Let's take a break here. Rangers win 3-2 in overtime. It didn't need to go that way. Didn't have to go that way. But congratulations to the Blue Shirts and the Rangers fans. I know it's been a miserable run for you, so at least for tonight, you beat the Devils and you feel good about yourselves. The Devils gave you one. It did not need to go down like that. Let me look at this replay. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Win of the year for the Rangers. Boy, did they need that. With Shesterkin back, Sam Carrick calls game. Rangers win in overtime. Keith McPherson on the Fan. If you're watching the Fiesta Bowl as well, a slight change down there in Miami. The Fighting Irish tie it up. It's 10-10. And we got a brand new game here in the third quarter, folks. If you were expecting Drew Aller to come out and add to his campaign for being a top five pick. I think I just saw he's 5 for 13 with 53 yards. He's not wowing anybody so far tonight. But, Aeneas Williams, that kid, just put the team on his back, though. 888-808-1019. We're still talking about the Mets. We're still talking about Pete Alonso. We're still talking about Juan Soto. We're talking a little bit about arbitration. I gave you the names from the Mets that reached arbitration or avoided arbitration today. And for the Yankees, it's Devin Williams, it's Jazz Chisholm. I'll get those names too, but something else just came up on my radar per John Heyman. Unfortunately, I can't see John Heyman's tweets, but people want to tag me in most of his tweets with things like, Keith is the best, Keith is the man, go on Keith's show again, or they'll simply write, I can't even believe it. Shout out to my guy Javi, who just tagged me. According to John Heyman, the Yankees are showing interest in Paul DeJong from the Toronto Blue Jays. Shortstop, third baseman. I'm somewhat familiar with his game, but that's not something that's got me jumping out of my seat here at WFAN tonight. Let's get back to the phone. Bobby and Belmore back on the Fan. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, I think the Devils were overconfident the last game after kicking the Rangers' butt, it looks like. B.J. LeMayo, they owe $30 million, not $15 million, Keith. You know that, and that's why they want to play this guy. And that guy that you're talking about, they're probably just getting him as a backup for D.J. just in case he gets hurt. Of course, Cabrera and Peralta, and the guy, I forgot that guy's name, Matt Volpe, the other guy. He's been a disappointment. Peralta, he's been a disappointment. Mm-hmm. I want to get to Soto. I want to get your opinion. Haven't they learned from Edwin Diaz? And that was for the World Baseball Classic, which was actually a global thing. This is for winter ball, and they're letting Soto play winter ball?
You can't tell Soto anything. You can't tell that guy anything. He's a me guy. He's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to play in the next World Baseball Classic, too. I bet you the Mets don't have a problem with that.
Well, I saw him doing those lifts. And he looked out of shape. Maybe am I imagining? He looked
no, you're not imagining. We saw him at the press conference, and people were roasting him. He's got a little bit of a little stomach, a little bit of a gut. You know what they say about when you get rich, you also get fat. The work is done.
I was about to put my line away. Yeah, I was about to say. And he's always become kind of a lazy player in the field and on the base paths. And I'm not going to jump to conclusions, but. Yeah, I just think it's a bad sign. You already look out of shape, and maybe that's why he's playing winter ball to get in shape. I don't know, but with the Mets' luck, I just pray that nothing happens to this guy.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. Hey, Bobby said it, not me. You hear what Bobby's saying? He's saying you got Pablo Sandoval on your hands.
I saw a belly.
Moose is in Jamaica. Moose, you're on the Fan.
You're Keith, what did you?
What up,
yo? Killing boss. Anyway, here to talk about my man from the Mets, Petey Pablo, Pete Alonso, and what I really think is going down with the Mets and why these offers have been so disrespectful. They're really zeroing in on Vlad Guerrero Jr. Either later in the offseason, they make a monster blockbuster deal, or before or during spring training, blah, 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 you name it. Or maybe at the trade deadline. And they'll go with Acuna, Beatty, or Mauricio to just fill a gap at third and have Vientos play first until if they don't get him before the offseason, next offseason, they'll sign him. They have the money, they'll outbid everybody and they'll just have Soto. And, playing with Soto, I don't think Vladimir Guerrero is going to pass that up. So that's why I think they're doing Petey Pablo. This dirty.
You might be right, Moose. I think they might be looking down the road. De Lo Mio, another Dominican player who's been very vocal about Toronto not coming close to the money he's looking for, but yet Toronto has $700 million out there for Juan Soto. The Blue Jays avoided arbitration today with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They agreed to a $28.5 million deal for the 2025 season. Maybe the Mets trade for him. They don't have to trade for him. They don't have to, get him here and You know, sweeten up. No, they don't have to do that. They don't have to get him here and make him like want to be a Met. Money talks. He wants a big contract. He is 25. He would love to play with Juan Soto. Like a week or two ago, there was a video of those two together partying or something. So, yeah, maybe they're looking for Vladdy down the line next year. And if I'm Pete Alonso and I get wind of that, I'm out. Darren's in New Jersey. Darren, you're on the Fan.
Thanks so much, Keith. Love all your work. Repping from Monmouth County here.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to lose my mind with the Pete Alonso disrespect. I agree with the caller right there. Obviously, Vladdy's great. I'm not disputing that. There's a four-year difference. Pete just turned 30. You could give him 5 years and only beat his age 34 season. And you know what? That dad body plays. He posts just like Lindor, just like Soto, just like Big Poppy posted, right? That body plays. And if you look at Pete, his down year was 34-88, right? Mm-hmm. The year before, 46 home runs, 118 ribbies. His postseason numbers, not to mention what he did off the airbender, check out his postseason rate. His rate's 51 homers and over 100 RBIs with a .273 batting average. Your man Derek Jeter, one of the few guys like Big Poppy that was able to keep their regular season rate and perform in the postseason. I like Vladdy Jr. Has he ever been in the playoffs and done it? Has he ever done it in New York? While Pete does all those things, pay this man some money. 4 or 5 years. 5 years is his age 34 season. I love your show. Keep doing that great work, brother.
Great call, Darren. I mean, like, is it not worth it? Is it not worth something? Like, I remember Steve Cohen coming out last year saying, you know, I know what Pete means to the Mets fans. And it seems like he's a culture guy, Steve Cohen, right? The retired numbers and bringing back the black jerseys and putting the Tom Seaver statue up and bringing Old Timers Day back. Doing all these different things for the fans. Like, you would think that he could extend a little bit here. I think that's what it's going to take. David Stearns probably not trying to extend. David Stearns has no attachment to Pete Alonso. But I think it's going to come down to it in these next few weeks. Like, Pete should be in camp with the Mets. 888-808-1019. I'm going to take a break here. Coming up, my guy Eitan Levine, a.k.a. Eitan the goalie. We're going to talk Mets. But we're going to start talking football a little bit as we're getting closer to the fourth quarter of the college football playoff semifinal down there in Miami. And we're definitely going to start talking about the Giants, their quarterback situation, the Jets, their everything situation, and start looking ahead to NFL Wild Card Weekend. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. I have 3 hours left. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming right back.